Shade from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
Hey, man, you came out hot.
I did. I'm excited to be back in the studio.
Like a bat out of hell. Holy Telio, yeah. You're back. Hey.
I'm back. We can do the show like usual now.
Hey, my co-host is back, and you're going to be in trouble.
Hey, now, my co-host's back.
It's like we planned that.
Yeah, that was entertaining and somewhat disturbing.
A little bit.
But that, now, you know,
that's our
now
show.
We're back. We can do the show as usual. I can once again do the show while gazing longingly into your eyes.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask, could you not do that?
Sure. I got the cease and desist order.
Thank you.
My people are looking into it, looking for loopholes, but...
I'd rather you didn't do that either.
I will face the corner.
Okay.
Message received.
Actually, John, for those who can't see, John is looking at a wall while I do the podcast, so we're not looking at each other at all.
Nope. You can just feel the emotional distance between us.
Oh, it's palpable.
Mm-hmm.
Palpable.
But we're going to just power through, and we're going to talk about the new episode of SNL.
Indeed.
We're going to do season 45, episode 12, from February 1st, 2020, J.J. Watt hosting and Luke Combs musical guesting.
J.J. Watt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Little John.
Thank you. Like that, huh?
Yeah, I did very much. This is kind of a first for us because it's I think the very first time we've done an episode of SNL where we had never heard of either the host or the musical guest before.
That's right. History in the making right here.
We are so out of the loop.
Oh, so out of it.
And,
but, I mean, it's understandable because, like, I think a lot of people didn't know J.J. Watt.
I don't think he's as known as most of the sports stars. Like, one of the people on our Twitter page was like, I'm surprised you don't know J.J. Watt, because even people who follow football casually know who he is. And I was like, well, neither one of us follows football casually.
No.
So.
Like, unless it's an athlete that's been in a commercial.
Yeah.
Or, like, Space Jam.
Yeah.
We have no idea who it is.
No.
It has to be, like a top tier, like a LeBron James.
Or Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Or a Jeter. Somebody, like, who everybody knows outside of sports.
Yes.
Like, if you asked me to name somebody on the Giants right now or the Jets, I'd be hard-pressed to do that.
No.
There's that one guy, Boomer Esiason.
Sure.
And there's the other person, John.
Yeah.
And Elway? No.
Sure.
And the other dude.
But anyway, how about that Super Bowl? That Super Bowl was something, right?
Yeah, Super Bowl.
That
yeah.
Super Bowl was impressive last night.
Woo!
I was so impressed with insert winning team here. They played a great game.
Yeah, that team was really amazing, especially when that one player, insert name here, did that crazy play where he, insert play here, and caught the ball and ran over there. I mean, my God, that was
amazing.
And
I was so impressed that the final score was, insert final score here. I mean, who saw that coming? That the game was so lopsided and or close.
It was something else. My God.
That was something.
Congratulations to insert city name here.
Yes. Yes. We were all very impressed with winning team.
Yes.
And how about that unexpected Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, my God. That was shocking.
That was shocking and also touching and or funny.
Yes, when insert celebrity name here did that thing in that commercial.
And that unexpected cameo.
Woo!
Wow.
Holy moly.
It was probably the best / and or worst Super Bowl I have ever seen.
My God. We're covering all our bases here, apparently.
We are.
Absolutely. Let's I guess we just dive into this episode.
Dive into this episode with this sports person we've never heard of and this country music star we've never heard
of.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, people say,
how excited are we for this episode?
Oh,
really?
Oh my God, we're electric. I mean, people say the guy JJ Watt is really nice. He actually raised a lot of money for Hurricane Harvey and all this stuff. And
yeah, they had a commercial early in the show with him helping out like recovery and stuff.
Yeah, it was like for an insurance commercial. But yeah, like right after he did his monologue, it went into that commercial. I was like, okay. Seems like a nice enough guy. I don't know if that really translated into acting well in sketches.
Wow.
But I'm glad he did what he did. Look, hey, He's a good guy, I'm saying. I said he's a good guy. I'm happy for
you. You can be a good person without being good at sketch comedy.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Don't shoot those dagger eyes at me. Keep your eyes on the wall.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Darren.
Okay.
All right. I'm staying 20 feet away at all times.
Thank you.
So let's go in. We had the cold open, which was because the presidential impeachment trial is pretty much wrapped up this week. They still have to do the final vote. But they voted, we're not going to do witnesses because what trial needs witnesses?
Witnesses?
Schmittnesses.
Damn it. You did it. Thank you.
Yeah. Witnesses. We don't need no stinking witnesses. So it's all over, but the shouting. So for the cold open, they did the trial you wish it happened, which not a bad premise.
Not a bad premise. I thought it would be more like that cold open they had when John Hamm was there. Like they would play out more like a telenovela, soap opera thing.
Okay,
but they went in a different direction.
Like this because it's got John Hamm in it.
So. Yeah, you remember that one where John Hamm made a cameo in it, and it was like a soap opera. Heidi,
was this a Trump thing or?
I think so. Yeah. It was like Heidi kept fainting.
Okay.
You totally blocked it out of your mind.
I think I'm blanking on this. I'll look it up once we're done.
It wasn't that long ago. I thought I thought they were going that direction, but they went in another direction.
It went in another direction. They had Keenan as Judge Mathis come in, and he took over the trial from Chief Justice John Roberts.
Right.
We had Beck come in as Mitch McConnell. We had Kate McKinnon come in as Lindsey Graham. We had kind of a surprise. We had Cecily Strong come in as John Bolton.
Yeah, that was...
Cecily and drag. I think they just want to continue this tradition of having female cast members play people in the Trump administration.
All right. I'm cool with it.
You know, because they know it bugs Trump.
That's right. Yes.
Her John Bolton was kind of close to her Jeanine Pirro, I thought.
I could see that. Just a lot of like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
What? I mean, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And let's see. Then we had Pete Davidson come in as Hunter Biden when they started calling witnesses.
Yeah, he came in on a hoverboard.
And
That still bugs me. That's not an actual hoverboard like in Back to the Future 2. It's like, no, there's wheels on it. It's not really hovering.
No. It's just basically like a Segway without the big...
Big old stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big old stick in the middle. Like,
yeah.
No, that's like it's not hovering. Did you not see Back to the Future 2?
Not as fun. No.
Can't go on water.
No.
You need more power.
Unless you got power. They should parody Back to the Future 2 just so Bowen Yang can play that guy.
Oh my god.
I could see Bowen Yang just making a meal out of that.
Yeah. Oh,
character.
Dude, it's a role he was born to play.
Yeah.
Oh no. That's all right. But yeah.
I want a good Back to the Future 2 parody, damn it. That's what we need.
That's what we need now more than ever.
We're 5 years past 2015.
Holy, that took place in 2015. Wow, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Jesus.
It did.
We still got no hoverboards except for what we
still no hoverboards.
Get on that science.
Or Robert Zemeckis or whoever can give us hoverboards.
Thank you.
Whoever. Elon Musk, you're slacking. We're just saying.
Yeah, stop, put down that weed pipe and get to work on the hoverboards.
Right.
Post-haste.
But we had Pete Davidson as Hunter Biden. He was, talking about nepotism, and he was like, oh, yeah, I've been selling Biden steaks at the top of Biden Tower. Oh, wait, that's the other guys.
Uh-huh.
And then we had Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump come in, because that monkey paw hasn't folded down all of its fingers yet.
No.
He is still contractually obligated to be there, I'm assuming. Or
I guess. I don't...
Or I don't know.
I
he doesn't want to be there.
Want to be there. We don't want to see him there, but he's still there. So here we go.
Yeah. And he comes into court with a walker like Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
In his trial. And he said, Harvey and I overlap in a few areas.
I mean...
Because they both do unwanted sexual advances on women.
And one's the president.
Yep.
That's the world.
Remember consequences? Those are fun.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it though? What did it do? I stuttered.
Yeah.
Right through that. All right.
let's see. We had Alex Moffat come in as Adam Schiff, and the judge replaces Schiff with Kyle Mooney as Joe Pesci and My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, because I liked how they had, when they put up the names of each character, said, oh, My Cousin Vinny. And then below it said, why not? It's fun. I was like, all right, that was
I missed
cute.
That.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's cute. That. Like, and even they're admitting it is silly, but whatever.
Yeah, and we had Trump in a Phil Spector wig with a big
Yes.
I guess that's a fro or whatever.
It was.
It looks like, you know, he stuck his finger in a light socket or something. But
yeah, it was like all big and yeah, poofy.
Untreated.
Like a Bootsy Collins.
And yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm Trump, baby.
And we had Mitch McConnell singing a song, What Have I Done, to the tune of Send in the Clowns, which I think that was the point where the sketch really lost me.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, what, Mitch McConnell showing remorse? No, that's bullshit.
He's a horrible person who does horrible things.
And he does not feel bad about any of it. He is fucking smug about it.
Yeah, he feels no love.
So even in this fantasy thing, I couldn't buy Mitch McConnell showing remorse.
Yeah.
And like, that's not what I wish happened. I don't wish for Mitch McConnell to feel bad about what he's done. I wish for him to be punished for what he's done and face consequences for what he has done.
Exactly.
That is what I want to see, SNL.
Thank you. Don't make me root for or make me see think that the bad guy is like has a heart.
No.
You're saying he ain't Kylo Ren. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care about that. I want to see him, you know, I want to see like the end of Die Hard where Hans Gruber, you know, is thrown off of Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, exactly. He's Hans Gruber. He's Palpatine. Don't make me feel things for him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
I want a villain.
I want him electrocuted by his force powers and
force powers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess it was
like
force.
Palpatine.
Yes. Oh right. Yes. Because I said that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like listening to you and stuff.
What? Is that how podcasts work?
So yeah. So anyway, I thought this was a good premise. It had potential, but I thought the sketch itself was kind of weak.
Yeah. No. Yeah. This cold open was like pretty. I mean, the jokes were kind of weak, and like the premise was all right, but it's like, I don't know. It was not.
I don't know.
It wasn't great.
I wanted something with more bite to it. You know, this just seemed like kind of weak sauce.
Yeah, very much. I mean, like the sketch last week with where they were in hell, that had bite.
Yes,
but this was kind of this was kind of middling and kind of like I don't know. This didn't wow me.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. Next, we had the monologue with our host JJ Watt. Who
JJ what?
That will never get old. Comes out, it's got the blazer and is wearing a shirt.
Got pants.
Is wearing the red cowboy boots. Not pulling them off as well as Ted Mosby.
Wait, was
but,
he?
He had some red cowboy boots.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I made a note of that.
Ooh, wow.
So JJ Watt, apparently he's defensive end for the Houston Texans, which. Houston Texans, that's kind of a bad name for a football team, isn't it?
It's not great.
If you're from Houston, aren't you a Texan by definition?
Yeah, it's like being called the New York New Yorkers for a team.
Exactly.
It's like, let's switch that up a bit.
Yeah.
Think of an animal like the Houston Bulls. I mean, that's kind of like the Chicago Bulls, I guess.
Well, didn't we have the Houston Oilers?
We did, but...
Did that change? Did they move to another city or something?
I think, wasn't it a hockey team?
I don't know.
Oh, we're so bad, guys. We're really bad with sports.
I don't know. Yeah,
but yeah.
I know I've heard of the Houston Oilers. I know the Houston Oilers were a thing.
That's definitely was a thing.
Yeah,
but I don't. Think
I don't know if they still are a thing or what. And
I don't know sports ball.
And you know, honestly, you don't even have to bother tweeting at me to explain because I'm gonna forget 5 minutes after you tell me because that is how little I care.
Wow. But, like hours after we put this out, people are going to be tweeting us like, "Don't you guys know the Houston Oilers?"
No, I do not.
All the jock bros are going to come after us, man.
Yeah. What else is new?
Right. Meet me after school.
You know, it's been that way for 35 years. Why should it change now?
Oh boy. But yeah, I mean, basically, this monologue is just JJ kind of talking to the audience, telling jokes right at the teleprompter.
Almost introducing himself, he was like, you know, I'm a defensive end for the Houston Oilers. That's a football team. Football is the one where they wear the helmets.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had to explain that to people, but the writers were assuring me that I did.
Because writers don't know sports.
Yeah.
Because writers are theater nerds and comedy geeks.
Yep.
They don't know nothing about no sporting.
You know, we also found out he has two brothers who are also in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, and they have the J's in their name, too?
Yeah, one was, there's JJ, TJ, and for some reason, Derek. I thought this was just kind of an monologue.
Very much so.
You know, there just wasn't much to say.
Yeah, a lot of the jokes were kind of easy jokes, too. Like, he said, like, my friends talked to me and made an easy joke, like, oh, Saturday Night Live, what time does that air on?
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey, guys, it's called Saturday Night Live. I don't work there. I don't know what time it airs.
Right, right. So just you know, because football players aren't bright and
jocks are dumb, writers are nerds, and they don't know sports. And,
yeah,
and that's how life works.
And he had a joke at the end. It was like, oh, I wish my mom had had a fourth a kid who could have played this position because we wanted. He made some weird joke that was like, oh, because we want him to dress up.
That, wow.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It seemed like it was just on the verge of maybe being homophobic, but maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know.
Oh, I did not hear that.
I don't know. I thought it was weird, but it was just an monologue. So,
yeah, the monologue. So far, not off to a great start.
We're not getting off to a strong start. I mean, we're pulling for you, SNL, but...
That's right. Help us help you.
Yes.
First sketch, Frozen 2, deleted scenes.
Yes.
And, basically it's just them acting out deleted scenes from the Frozen 2.
And I'll say they're matching the characters pretty well. Like, the hair and makeup and the costume departments, they're doing a great job. They all look like the characters from Frozen. We had Kate as Elsa saying that she's gay, and Cecily as her sister Anna singing a song we all know.
Yeah.
I mean, just about how they all know that she's gay, because apparently Elsa's gone through two movies without a love interest.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I only saw the first Frozen, which I liked quite a bit. It was actually really a really good movie. The second one I haven't seen. I heard it's okay. It's not as good as the first. But yeah, Elsa doesn't have a love interest. And I guess if you want to look into it, there are like a lot of tones that she's
into
dudes.
I guess this is the thing. I'm sure there's some BuzzFeed thing. It's like, here's all the reasons Elsa is gay.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I guess this is a thing. It's not a thing I'd heard of before.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about the sketch. Like, if you've never seen Frozen 1 or 2,
which I haven't.
Yeah, a lot of this is, I'm assuming, did a lot of it just go over your head? Or
I feel like
you didn't get it.
It kind of did. I know the basics of Frozen. I mean, I saw the Frozen short that was before the Pixar movie. I'm blanking on the name of it. The thing about the Day of the Dead. Coco?
Coco, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which I love that movie, and the Frozen short was also there.
Oh boy.
I mean, but you know, the Frozen short didn't mean a whole lot to me because I hadn't really seen the first Frozen. So
okay, well, once the first Frozen's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I'm sure whenever I sit down to watch it, I will enjoy it. I just don't have kids. Didn't happen to see it.
Okay, yeah, I guess renting a movie by yourself is like, oh hey sir, where's your I you know what? As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, wait, no, you can just rent them at home. You don't have to go to, like, a Blockbuster and rent a video.
I mean, adults are allowed to watch Pixar
they
movies.
They are, and, but, like, I don't know.
I would feel no shame in watching Frozen. No, yeah.
Oh. All right.
I just haven't happened to see Frozen. I'm behind on a lot of the Pixar things.
Okay.
Right. I haven't seen, Brave. I haven't seen Brave. I haven't seen Inside Out.
I didn't see Brave. Inside Out's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Up is fantastic. I mean,
I've seen Up.
I mean, that first 15 minutes, my God.
Oh, God. Tears.
Woo!
Tears.
Woo!
I mean, come on. I'm not made of stone, people.
All right, back to sketch. Sorry.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is way more interesting than a sketch.
Sure.
All right, so talking about Elsa being gay.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt comes in talking about being big and woke.
Yeah, he's playing Anna's husband, Kristoff.
Right.
And he's a humongous sensitive oaf. I feel like the sketch was kind of written because somebody was like, hey, JJ kind of looks like Kristoff from Frozen.
Yeah, I could see. It's big bulky man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see it.
And then we had, responding to criticism that Frozen was too white, we had Keenan coming in as a black guy in rural Norway in 1840.
Right.
And they do a song called How Do You Solve a Problem Like Matthias.
Right, right. Because they want diversity in these cartoons.
Yeah, he's a black guard with like two white guys.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, so here I am being black.
I'm in a black man in Norway in 18 whatever.
Yeah.
This makes total sense.
And I don't doubt that the movie got that criticism, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense to have a black guy in Norway in that time period.
Yeah, I think for Black History Month, I'm like, we don't have to be there.
Representation is important, diversity is important, but we don't have to put every single person in every single ethnicity in every single thing.
Yeah, some places it works better than others.
Yeah.
And then they had Olaf come out, and there was like a second carrot growing out of his groin.
Had a big old carrot penis. Redesigned Olaf, I felt like this was just kind of random. They were just going in a whole lot of different directions. I think I would have preferred it if like they stuck with like the Elsa being gay thing or something.
I thought that's
like
what they were going to do too. I thought that was going to be the thing that kind of went across the whole sketch.
Yeah, but it just pivots away from that and never comes back to that.
Yeah, and then it goes to this and to this and to this and
Yeah, so it's just kind of a lot of random jokes about Frozen.
Yeah, like I mean, again, if you've never seen Frozen, none of this hits with you. It's like when they had sketches about Game of Thrones, and then neither one of us watched Game of Thrones, so the whole sketch was like,
It was still amusing. I enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed it more if it concentrated on like, you know, one of those gags.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, you know, concentrate on Elsa being gay, concentrate on Kristoff being woke, or
right,
you know, something. They didn't really tie the stuff together. So,
like, yeah, they could have just focused on one thing and made the whole sketch about that rather than just kind of hop from thing to thing, and all of those things weren't that great.
Yeah, it was just kind of, let's make random jokes about Frozen. So,
all right.
It's too bad.
All right. Next up, we got Robbie.
Robbie, this was a pre-tape film segment, football, you know. You seen the movie Rudy?
Yeah.
It's the end of the movie Rudy.
Exactly.
So, and I have seen the movie Rudy.
I have seen Rudy,
because,
too.
Because, again, not made of stone.
That's right.
I'm not a sports person, but God damn it, Rudy is such a great movie.
We have hearts, people.
I mean, come on. Sean Astin.
Rudy.
Rudy. Rudy. Sean Astin, Ned Beatty, Charles S. Dutton.
Other
people who are in that movie.
Oh, Jon Favreau, right?
Yes, he was.
And Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's like young unknown Favreau and Vaughn.
I'm pretty sure that's where they met, actually.
I think you're right. Think you're right. Yeah, they did meet on a movie, and yeah.
See,
and
I know sports.
A few years before Swingers.
Yeah, yeah.
So many you don't even know it.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love Swingers. That's like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It really is.
Swingers is great stuff.
Guys, if anybody wants to ever have me on a Swingers podcast, I'd be happy to do it.
Can we figure out a way to do Swingers on this podcast? Was there anyone from SNL on Swingers?
Vince Vaughn hosted back in the 90s.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Heather Graham hosted years ago.
Yeah.
And that's
1996 Heather Graham.
Ooh.
Let's just take a moment here.
Oh, I'm getting all sweaty.
So anyway, it's a parody of the movie Rudy.
Yeah. Oh, right. We're talking about
the end of the movie. All the team is like, oh, you got to let Robbie play. He's got more heart than anyone in this game. I'm not going to suit up if he can't. He can take my place.
Right.
And Beck Bennett's the coach is like, well, I mean, okay, I guess. And then J.J. Watt is the one player saying, no, he sucks at football. He's dog shit.
Yeah.
Which I kind of enjoyed. This was fun. And I liked how J.J. was playing it.
I mean, yeah. No, just. He was just pretty much ragging on Robbie, played by Chris Redd, who says, no, he's terrible. Like, we were trying to, he's trying to go through the plays, and he just, like, curled up in a ball and pooped his pants.
And he was like, maybe you don't believe in me, Riley. And he just goes, I definitely don't. And I loved how J.J. Watt said that line, like, just both the delivery and the edit of that. were just like, I definitely don't. Very funny. And we had Keenan as like the wide's old groundskeeper who was like parodying the Charles S. Dutton character,
right.
He doesn't really believe in Robbie either. And then finally the coach says, "Well, I'll let you play if you can get past Riley." And then Robbie comes up and he doesn't know any of the plays,
right? And it just ends with like Riley kind of slamming him feet. It's like flying through the air and hitting against...
Thrown into the lockers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a good stunt. That was like... It was like cartoony. It was like...
My God.
Yeah. And this made me laugh. I thought this was funny. It was a neat twist. I think this was probably sketch of the night for me.
Mm, interesting. All right. Yeah, this was okay.
Yeah, this one was amusing.
Yeah, yeah. Next up, we got the talk.
The sex talk. With J.J. Watt as the dad, he's coming into his son Kyle's bedroom, and apparently Kyle has walked in on his parents having sex.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do. And then Watt's having his talk, and he's just basically going into way too much detail about his sex life with his wife.
Right, and you know, he's talking about, we didn't want you to come in seeing us have sex, but hey, your mom's a sexy freak, and like when she puts it on me, it's time to wax that ass like Mr. Miyagi.
Sometimes you got to man up and clamp them cheeks.
Oof.
And he talks about how his mother was sending him filthy texts at work, and so he had to run home to wax that ass.
Yes, to make them cheeks clap.
And A.D. Bryant comes in towards the end as the mom. And
yeah, mom talked about she has that ill nana, which I appreciated because I haven't heard ill nana in forever. I was like, look at him using the old school terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just basically the mom and dad talking to Kyle Mooney, the son, about how they like to get it on and how dad like to get all up in them guts.
And Kyle being very disturbed. And it just ended kind of abruptly.
Yeah. It was definitely a sketch.
It was a sketch. Yeah, this one was another kind of weak.
Yeah. I mean, it was very simple. See, the thing is, like, with sketches like this, where it's like a very simple premise and there's mm-hmm. no really to go, like, you know, simple sketches are fine, but then you really need somebody who can, like, sell it. Like, performers who can really, like, elevate the material.
Uh-huh.
When the material is kind of just whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think the performances here really...
Yeah, it probably would have been funnier if the performances were a little more over the top. I don't know what it needed. Maybe like more gestures or miming sex acts or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, some hip thrusts or gyrations.
Sure,
or, I mean,
hip thrusts always help. Let's face it.
That's how I get through the day.
That's comedy.
Yeah. That's how I end my set.
I don't know. I feel like it just needed more of a twist or something. Or, you know, we could have... You know, who knows? Like, he pulls out a ball gag in a gimp outfit or something. I mean, like, you know, have the parent's sex life be as freaky as possible.
Well, that's where your mind went?
I don't know. I don't know. That was the first freaky sex thing that occurred to me.
Hey,
but
a chihuahua.
Okay, don't judge.
I'm not here to sex shame, all right?
Okay.
You do what you do.
Don't kink shame.
I'm not. Hey, ball gags are cool, man. You do what you do.
Okay.
You know, you live your life, man. YOLO.
I just feel very judged right
now. No, dude. I don't. You do. Whatever you want to.
Just look at the corner, Darren.
Okay.
Look at the corner.
Dear.
All right. Next, we had another pre-tape, a commercial for a men's product. This was Oil of Olay. It was eye black that reduces the puffiness under your eyes.
Because, like, football players have that black gunk under their eyes, like a left
that
eye.
That reduces the glare.
Is that what that's for?
That's what I understand that's
for. I didn't even know what that was for.
Yeah, for years I did not know what that was for. But apparently, it reduces the sun glare because I guess the sun reflects on the helmets or something like that. Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought.
Plus, it makes him look badass.
Right? Like Left Eye from TLC or something.
Right. That's only like both eyes.
I know.
So.
Dude, that's pretty badass.
We're chasing all those waterfalls.
We really are. Oh, God.
So this was Oil of Brolay, eye black that reduces puffiness. The main thing I want to say is that when I entered the word puffiness into my iPhone as I was taking my notes, my spell check suggested puffy nipples. I don't know what that's about.
The fuck?
I'm not going to kink shame my iPhone, but apparently my iPhone's got some stuff going on.
Dude, you are a freak. Like, your phone is about puffy nipples and your ball gags?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from. I was like, whoa, that's kind of out of the blue iPhone. What the hell?
I mean, doesn't the iPhone kind of pick up on what you normally text and look up?
Anyway, okay. So,
but this sketch.
Yeah.
I kind of like the premise of it, the idea of it, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it really executed it too well.
Yeah, I mean, I like the line, like, you know, now I can stop worrying about fine lines and start worrying about the offensive line. You know, this was fine. It was cute.
Yeah.
It didn't.
And they had that line where him and Beck was putting on mm-hmm. the eye black, and then Beck was like, hey, is this gay? And then JJ was like, nope, it's just gay enough. I was like, all right. Yeah. And so the sketch was okay. But I mean, I also kind of liked it at the end when Alex Moffat he had like the thing for like the eye black, but for over mm-hmm. the nose for when you break your nose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was like one of those blackhead remover things where you put it on for a while and then you swipe it off and it pulls out the blackheads.
Right. So he had that for, you know, when you have a broken nose when you play a game.
Right.
And so he removed it. He took it off real quick and then, like, his nose is still bloody.
And
he screamed in horror.
Yeah.
That was like, all right, that kind of saved it. This sketch, it was okay. But
it was fine.
I like the idea, but I don't know. Something
didn't blow you away.
Yeah, it didn't blow me away.
All right. Next, we had our musical guest, Luke Combs.
No relation to Sean Puffy.
I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah.
I
had to look this up.
Yeah. No?
Yeah, I was like, no. Okay. Sean Puffy Combs did not have a country brother.
Well, he was certainly country. It was very...
So country.
It was very America.
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 Monster trucks.
I want to go buy a Ford pickup truck.
Yeah, like, I mean, all right, well, he did two songs, Lovin' on You and Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Is there a more quintessentially country music title
no.
than Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Like, if I was making a song that made fun of country music, that was mocking it,
yeah.
I would call it Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Yeah, damn straight.
Yeah, something like, Trucks and Guns Are Made for Loving, or something silly like that.
Yeah.
And, this music is, like, the countryest of country.
Very twangy, very.
Very hee-haw.
Yeah.
Like, if I walked into a bar and this was playing, I'd be very nervous.
Right.
I'd be like, I should probably leave.
Yeah, I should go. There's going to be some bad stuff going down.
I'm sure a Confederate flag isn't far away.
Oh my, this is ethnic. it was country music. It's not really our thing.
It's not like I've never been down south, really. I'm a Northeast kid. Like, as far as the South goes, I've only been to like Florida a couple times, like Atlanta twice, and what else have I been? Like Louisville, Kentucky. And like, I haven't really been below.
I've lived in the South. My family lives in Georgia now. I'm not originally from the South, but I've lived in Alabama and I've lived in Tennessee.
Wowee.
And so
yeah, but
I've been exposed to some of that. Not really a fan of the country music.
All right. Yeah, I've never been like below really like Virginia.
Sure.
So but when I think of the South, like, this Luke Combs performance is like, this is probably what it's like. Just
yeah.
A bunch of good old boys, never meaning no harm.
Right. Been in trouble with the law since the day they were born.
Yeah. Just moonshine and
Daisy Dukes.
And antiquated.
Roscoe Pico. And
antiquated virgins about foreigners.
Yep.
But, like, is the South like that, or?
I wouldn't say so. But country music is like that. It's, gotcha, they go into that. That's their brand, I guess.
Yeah, just so. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's fine. You know, you go do your country music stuff, Luke Combs.
It's right. You live your life there. Just
not really for me, but, okay.
Yeah. Trucker caps and flannel and
he-doggies. You think somewhere Shane Gillis was watching this episode and enjoying it?
He might have been.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, he's like, oh, so close.
I mean, I know he's always been more of a Mad TV guy anyway, but...
Oh, wow. Woo!
So next we had Weekend Update.
Yes, with Jost and Che. Yeah. They talked about, the impeachment trial.
Right. I like Che was like, that's it. I'm a Republican now. I'm tired of losing. I can't be a Democrat and a Knicks fan. It's just too much losing.
Yeah, no, that was a good line.
That was a good line.
They had the other line saying, oh, well, what better way to start Black History Month than to be failed by the justice system? that's a line.
That's got some bite to it. That's the kind of bite we expect from Che. Jost, he had a thing. He played a clip of Jared Kushner because Jared Kushner was playing. It was saying some stupid shit this week.
Really?
And yeah, I know, it's shocking. I know.
Whoa.
I know. And then they cut back to Jost, and he's like, "I've never seen a more self-entitled, overconfident white guy, and I mean."
You just like a good Jost jab.
I do. I'm all about the Jost jabs. And let's see, we had Bone Yang returning as Chen Biao, who is now the Chinese health minister, talking about the coronavirus, which is big news story from the last week.
It's like the virus of the year right now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always like a virus. There's like SARS or Ebola. Now it's Corona COVID. What's it called?
I think just the coronavirus. I mean, that's what it's colloquially known as.
Okay.
So, I like when I was at the airport last week, I was seeing a fair amount of people with wearing the medical masks.
I've seen a bunch of medical masks on the subway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this how it starts?
Yeah. No. We're going to be what was that movie? Outbreak.
Outbreak with Hoffman.
With Dustin Hoffman and Sharon Stone and some other people who I believe were in Outbreak.
And others.
Yes. And there was a monkey.
There was a monkey. Yes.
Yes.
The monkey from Friends. I want to say.
Let's say yes. I know they did an episode of Friends where they were making a fictional sequel to Outbreak.
Oh, so
maybe. With Jean-Claude Van Damme, because I guess they couldn't get Dustin Hoffman back in the world of Friends.
Right. When you can't get Justin Hoffman, you get Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, I mean, those two, I'm sure, are up for the same parts all the freaking time.
Bro, you think Van Damme was like, damn it, I lost another role to Dustin Hoffman.
I did not know you had a Jean-Claude
You didn't know
Van
I had that in the pocket,
impression
did you?
In your back pocket. Can you do some more Jean-Claude Van Damme, please?
Like another road to Dustin Hoffman I lose? Curse him. Curse him. That's right.
I don't know why, but that really amused me. I don't know if like the visual plays into it, but...
It helps.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry. That's just a black man imitating Jean-Claude Van Damme. That is just comedy right okay. there. Bowen, he's talking about how, like, the China downplayed the SARS outbreak in 2002, and he's like, 2002 was a different world. Spider-Man was Tobey Maguire.
Oy.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a cool little line. I didn't write too many jokes, but yeah, it was like...
Yeah, it was cute.
He talked about how they were giving away Chen Biao Burberry surgical masks at uh-huh. the end. I was like, oh, okay. That was nice.
It was cute.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cute. Then we had some more jokes, and then we had Ego... come on for Black History Month as Dr. Angie Hines.
Yes.
Who's talking about Black History Month, and she's talking about notable people in Black history.
Right.
And she goes, the first one is Cynthia. And they're like, do you know who Cynthia is, Colin? And he's like, no, I'm not familiar. And he's like, Cynthia is a bitch I thought was my friend till she showed up at my wedding wearing all white.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, and how does that connect to Black History Month? Well, she's black, and she's history to me.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, if you go to a wedding, you can't wear white. Only the bride wears white.
Yeah.
Because that actually happened. Like, at our wedding, somebody else wore a white dress, and, my mom and was like, can you believe she wore white? It's like, is that a thing? And, like, apparently...
And is she history to you? Did you guys write her out?
We're still cool.
Okay.
But I didn't know that was the thing. It's like, I guess that's the thing.
She is going to be so embarrassed when she hears this podcast.
No one listens to this podcast.
Okay. So it's just Angie going through like people who've wronged her. She was like, Malcolm G is a fool I worked with who airdropped me a dick pic in public.
Wow.
And now he's history to me.
History to me. Yeah.
I did like how later on she said that Dwayne Reed was the Black Walgreens.
Yeah, that's true. That checks out.
I was like, I can see that.
They lock up the lotion.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was bad because when she was in the store, she was mistaken for a 14-year-old's mother. I enjoyed this character. I wouldn't mind seeing this character come back.
Yeah, this was good. I'm happy to see, like, Ego get, like, center stage a little bit more.
Yeah, and I'd like to see her get a nice recurring character. I don't know if they could only bring back this character in Black History Month or if they could find some other rationale for her to come on.
I'm sure they'll think of
something. I would not mind seeing this character come back. This was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's Black History Month, though. Mm-hmm. They got all of February. Maybe they'll bring her back on in a couple weeks.
No, not that soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. No. All right. Well. Wow. But, wow. You really did a 180 there.
We got to space it out.
I see.
Okay. By next February, I'll be clamoring for more Dr. Angie Hines.
See you in 2021.
That's right. But no, I wouldn't mind seeing them find like another excuse to bring her on, in a few months or something.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sure they will. Like, but, I don't know.
Hey, who knows? Maybe by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Cha cha.
You read my mind. But yeah, as far as weekend update, this was okay. It was okay. It didn't blow me away, but it was all right.
Yeah.
Next up, the pilot hunk.
This is their Bachelor parody where they just have a hunk of some kind and a whole parade of women looking to get time with him.
Yeah, I mean, they did this when Blake Shelton hosted, James McAvoy hosted.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did they do? Jessica Chastain, Felicity Jones, Ronda Rousey. When they all hosted, they did this sketch, and now they're doing it again.
They've gone to this well quite a bit.
They have.
I don't know if I would say too much, but I mean, because The Bachelor is still a thing, I think Bachelor parodies can still be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, not too much, but they've gone to it quite a bit.
But they've got the formula of this sketch down now. I mean, the women come in, they're like, this is nice, then they say something weird or horrifying.
Yeah, like they're 20, 30 years old.
Right, and then they're immediately escorted away.
Exactly.
I liked how in the intro they said, watch him deep kiss the white girls and high five the black girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't watch The Bachelor, but I assume that's a thing.
Yeah, it's like,
like the show is making an effort to have a diverse group of ladies.
Yeah, but you just know, like, white guy's going to white.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably true of most people. Most people don't date outside their own race too much.
I mean, as far as dating goes, most people kind of switch it up. But like, as far as like settling down, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to. We're getting to the dicey waters here.
I don't think it's too controversial to say more often than not, most people settle down with somebody of their own race. Right?
I mean, I guess if.
I don't know the facts and figures on that. Yeah.
But, maybe.
I'm just saying anecdotally.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Anecdotally.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's the way it should be, or that's the only way it should be, or it should be the other way, or whatever, you know.
John, how did you vote in 2016? What's happening here?
You know, Luke Combs made a lot of good points.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to say right now.
Oh, God.
What's America.
Oh, my God. What's happening? I thought I knew you.
No, but I mean, we got all the female cast members parading on as Hannahs of various kinds, and
right.
Yeah, I liked 80 had a line. She was like, "Oh, the rumor about me is true. I have brown hair."
That didn't seem to get a big laugh from the audience, too. That was like,
yeah,
it was weird. Like the audience, I think, from the show was kind of tepid. I don't know. They didn't...
Well, I think deservedly so.
Ooh. all right.
Like Ego comes on. She said she died last episode, but she came back. Chloe Fineman comes on. She has a conjoined twin growing out of her shoulder.
Yeah,
blade.
That was like
she's the fun one.
Yeah, that took me aback a minute. I was like, oh,
yeah. That's so like this was
some Total Recall shit.
This was, you know, yet another blank hunk sketch.
Yeah,
another Bachelor parody. You know, it was fine.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, this sketch was...
Can I borrow him for just a second? Yeah.
I mean, I usually like these sketches because, like, the sketch kind of leans... It leans mostly on the performances of the women. Like, the guy just kind of...
And it's a rapid-fire thing, you know? Yeah, it's just gag to gag to gag to gag.
Yeah, yeah. So usually, like, if the female, you know, performances are strong, the sketch is usually pretty strong. But, like, yeah, for this one, I don't know. It didn't... I thought it was just okay.
Right.
There's a lot of sketches here I just thought were just... Okay.
Yeah, that seemed to be the level they were generally rising to tonight.
Yeah, just like, all right.
Yeah.
That's literally a thing.
That ate up another 3 minutes of airtime.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes that's all you can hope for.
That's right. Sometimes mediocrity is what you strive for.
That's, I mean, the show doesn't go on because it's ready. The show goes on because it's 11:30. That's something Lauren says. That's not me.
Bars.
Next
up, we had the EA Sports. Is that the...
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's titled?
Okay. Well, Madden 21 is what it's titled on YouTube. Right. We had J.J. Watt recording dialogue...
What?
...for Madden 2021 at EA, at Electronic Arts. And he's doing this dialogue, and it's a lot of him... You know, because they're doing dialogue to cover the various situations in the gameplay.
Voiceovers for the video game.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like all of his dialogue is him, like, screwing up and going like, oh, oopsie doodle.
Captain Clumsy strikes again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. Man, I suck today.
Yeah.
I'm really bad. I'm terrible.
And then they segue into, like, dialogue of him, like, putting down a kid in the wheelchair in the stands.
Yeah, exactly. Then they had him, taunting a kid in a wheelchair. And
I would never do this. Do we have to put this in? And they're like, oh, okay, well, we can just get rid of all that dialogue. And they get rid of like a whole column's worth of dialogue or something. But.
Right, yeah. And then they showed his avatar for the video game.
Yeah.
And it's just him like grossly overweight with like his gut hanging over.
And he's got like a pierced belly button.
Yeah. And it's like...
And then like they had a real weak final joke where it was like, you know, okay, now we're doing your touchdown dance, and it's him just flossing.
Yeah, doing that little floss, that swish floss dance.
Yeah, and that was the big joke at the end, and then the sketch just ended. I was just like,
yeah,
okay, that's what we're ending on. That's not that great of a gag at the end.
It really was.
They were really counting on that visual to amuse people
because kids love flossing. And and it's like, I mean, that was like a year or two ago, right? I think we're in this world where, like, you have to...
We as a society past the flossing?
I think so. I really do.
It's not the trendy thing that... I mean, I remember it was in the Shazam movie last year.
Yeah, but again, that was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think we're in this thing where if something's been out for more than a year, it's out of our lexicon. Like, forget... Like,
we've moved on.
Yeah, really.
As a society.
Yeah, I think, you know, Little Nas X, Old Town Road is, like, very close to being just kind of... Oh, that's old school now.
All right, you heard it here. SNL.
Sorry. I'm sorry to tell you this, Little Nas X.
You're not part of the zeitgeist anymore.
I'm sorry, Old Town Road. I'm sorry you had to find out this way, but yeah. But yeah, this sketch was like,
Darren is the arbiter. What's hip?
That's right. I'm Captain Cool.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey.
That's right. I punched a jukebox to turn it on.
I like how you're arguing, oh, this thing from a year ago, that's out. And then you finish it up with a Happy Days reference.
That's right.
From literally 35, 40 years ago.
I see the irony. I do. Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days.
Exactamundo. So next we had another pre-tape, a fake ad where, you know, you're drunk and you're ordering food at a hotel from room service.
Right.
And but you're ordering way too much food for one person.
Right.
And you want to get rid of that shame. You want to.
Right.
So what do you do?
You get food dudes.
Yeah.
You get like mannequins of people to sit around your room, so when the food gets delivered, they see, oh, it is for more than one person.
Right. There's a group of four here. That's not too much food for them. And they're all noticeably overweight to cover why you're eating so much food.
Exactly. And then to make sure that the person knows that they're actual people, mm-hmm. and not mannequins, which they are, the mannequins can actually ingest and eat the food.
Yes, they're realistically motorized, and then they can talk and be like, hey, we're ready to have that food.
Yeah.
And they all have microwaves in their butts so that you can keep your food nice and hot.
That you can carry them around in food dude cocoons, which look a lot like body bags.
Yes, they're sleek carrying cases, and you see him like wheeling the food wheeling dudes out of the hotel.
Like a cadaver.
And then at the very end, they just go, food dudes, not for sex. What'd you think of this, Darren?
It's pretty, it was all right. It wasn't,
it was
pretty basic.
It was one of those like absurd products for this kind of non-existent need, kind of like the planter where you can, use those to shit in your office.
Oh, right. And, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it was like one of those.
Yeah. It's definitely like, all right, that was a sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't write down anything for it. I liked it when they wheeled him out in the cocoon.
Yeah,
the body
it was
bag.
Fine. I didn't. This was fine.
Yeah,
it's no like a giant dog tent thing that lets you bone in front of your dog. No, but
it is not.
But it was fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay.
It was all right. I really don't have much to say. So next up. What it's called My Fair Bigfoot, or is it called something else?
Society Debut is what it's called on YouTube. But I will agree with you that My Fair Bigfoot is a much better title for this.
I thought I heard it called that somewhere.
This is London, 1918. Alex Moffat is like a Professor Henry Higgins type who has taught Bigfoot how to function in high society. And J.J. Watt is, of course, playing Bigfoot because he is so noticeably taller and larger and
he's a big boy.
Football player-y than everybody else on the set.
He Hulk.
And he's very cultured and he's getting along well at this high society party. And then Keenan comes in and talks about how somebody shit on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then there are jokes about how gross the bathroom is and how Bigfoot isn't really pulling off this entry into high society as well as he might because he's shitting on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. And then he kind of makes a speech and then he like takes somebody's wife and leaves.
Yeah. He takes Cecily Strong's character out on a piggyback and he also grabs the harp that he was playing and that's it.
Yeah. This one kind of...
This fell really flat.
This kind of like meandered a little. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of Bigfoot fitting into high society in a My Fair Lady type of situation, a Pygmalion thing.
A Pygmalion? Oh.
Yeah, that was the original play that My Fair Lady was based on.
Oh, wow.
I got a literary.
Fancy.
Yeah.
All right, look at you. Look at you reading books. This sketch was kind of like... I don't know. It just like none of. I mean, the jokes were kind of whatever, and they kind of didn't really hit for me. It was very lackluster.
This felt like something that should have been axed after Dress.
Yeah,
but they maybe didn't have a real deep bench of material this week, so
maybe
it made it to the show.
Yeah, this was.
I don't know who. You know, the costumes and the hairstyling were nice.
Yeah, that looked great.
It was a visually impressive looking sketch. Hey. I liked his Bigfoot makeup.
There's the rainbow.
There was a nice set. Yeah. I mean, technically, good-looking sketch.
Yes. Easy on the eyes. Great, like, costumes were great.
Mm-hmm.
people were there. It looked nice.
There were words on the cue cards.
Yeah, they were there.
I'm assuming.
Things were said.
Yes.
And
there were props at various points.
It lasted a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Ate up that airtime.
That's good.
Yep.
And the end.
Yes.
But yeah, that was like, oof.
So and, next we had Pizza Place.
Final sketch of the night, 10 to 1.
10 to 1. We had J.J. Watt as a pizza delivery man.
What?
delivering a pizza with extra large sausage. And Cecily and Heidi are there. They're two women who order the pizza, and they're like, oh, no, we don't have any money to pay. Oh, what can we do to pay you for the pizza? And, you know, buck-a-chicka-wow.
There's one way you can pay.
Bow-chicka-wow-wow.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the pizzeria itself, and Keenan is the guy running the pizzeria. Yeah. And
Big Willie's Pizza.
Big Willie's Pizza.
Get it?
Yeah. We come when you ask. That's their slogan. And he said, and we're going into the logical consequences of, like, you know, having a pizzeria in this porn world. And wow. and J.J. Watt comes back and he's like, every delivery takes you an hour and then you need a nap. and so he's like, and you never bring any money back from any of your deliveries. I'm losing money. He has to fire J.J. Watt, and he's getting calls for orders for pizza.
Right, yeah. And like, the people know that, oh, if you call this pizzeria, you'll get free pizza. All you got to do is sleep with the dude. And,
right.
And I think Keenan's saying, yeah, I'll deliver the pizza. And people immediately hang up. Yes, They don't want that. Talk about having a hole in the pizza box where you stick your wiener.
And then he's like, and Keenan's character ate that pizza. And he's like, yeah, I can't afford to, like, throw away that pizza. And he's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have eaten that.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's one of those porn movie cliche things. I don't know if they ever even do that sort of thing anymore.
Yeah, they did in a couple.
Okay,
I mean, I've heard.
Sure. All right. Yeah, getting on me about my perverted iPhone and stuff. And you're watching the pizza porn.
But I don't know what you're talking
about.
I know what you're about. I'm a good boy that never seen a porn in his life.
Okay.
I volunteer time at the church.
Sure.
And I don't stop looking.
Okay, I'm looking at the corner.
Look at the corner.
I'm looking at the corner.
Okay. But yeah, as far as this sketch goes, I mean, I honestly thought it would start off like, I thought it was going to go in the direction of, remember a couple episodes ago where they had it where it started off as a porn and then A.D. Mm-hmm. Bryan came in with like a character?
Yeah, they've done like the variations on that sketch some more.
I thought it was going to be like that, but then they took it in this direction, which I thought was a more interesting direction, but then, I don't know, it was just kind
of... I enjoyed this one. I thought this was funny, and it was like the type of odd material that you expect to see at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I kind of like the, you know, let's figure out the logical ramifications of living in a porn world where this sort of thing happens.
Yeah. No, I dug
it. What happens when he comes back.
Yeah, I dug it. I mean, this sketch definitely was, like, Keenan was doing the heavy lifting in this one.
Yeah. I mean, because, well, you know, J.J. Watt's not, he has some acting experience, you were telling me the other week, but not as experienced as the cast members, of course.
Right.
I liked how when he's getting fired, J.J. Watt's character is like, no, please, I'll do anything to keep this job. And Keenan's like, anything?
Bam,
and
bam.
And then J.J. Watt's like, okay, yes, I'll have sex with you. And he's like, what? No, no, I just wanted you to shoot my father-in-law for me.
All right, yeah, that was funny.
I enjoyed that because it was very bizarre.
That came out of nowhere.
I thought this was all right. This amused me.
This was all right, yeah. This is like, oh, okay, this is all right.
This would be my second best sketch of the night behind the Robbie. Yeah.
All right. I mean, as far as sketches, I mean, this the pizza sketch I thought was interesting. I kind of like the pilot hunk.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like the oil of Olay eye black, but it's like it didn't.
Right.
Didn't
just need quite a little extra oomph to take it over the top.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't love any of these sketches, but I thought they were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most everything it only rose to the level of okay. It was kind of an off episode, quite frankly.
Yeah, for the most part, this episode was pretty forgettable. But I mean, you know, it happens sometimes. It happens. Oh, and of course, it ended with you know, J.J. Watt and Luke Combs on stage with everybody. And of course, J.J. Watt was wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey to you know.
Yeah, in tribute because I mean he unfortunately passed this week in the helicopter crash.
Right, right.
And that was all over the news this week. I was seeing like so much.
Like, dude, like, when that happened, like like right after we recorded the last episode when you when you called in, and like as I was turning off the computer and, you know, shutting down all the equipment, I looked at my phone and it was like, literally like a minute after we finished it, I looked at my phone and I was like, what the hell?
And so, that story just exploded. And I had a moment like before our last episode aired, because I remember we went through a lot of naming a lot of sports stars towards the end of the episode, and I was like, we didn't name Kobe Bryant, did we? Because I had that moment of fear where we like it inadvertently hit on the tragedy before either one of us knew about it, of course.
Oh, no, I don't think
like,
we did.
No, we didn't. I listened to the episode and I was like, whew.
Yeah. Wait, did he ever host SNL? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
Bummer.
We in our ignorance might have thought he did. And that might have looked bad.
Yeah, that would have been a rough one.
That would have been rough, but thankfully it didn't happen.
And hopefully, J.J. Watt doesn't pass away after this episode comes out.
Oh, something. God, oh.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
All the best, J.J. Watt.
I shouldn't have put that out there. Holy hell. Oh, my God. So anyway, we put the word out on Twitter that we're doing this episode, and we told people to tweet at us, as we always do. And
What did we get?
We got Nick Store said, this episode, it was fine. I liked the Robbie sketch, although the joke was obvious a mile away.
Uh-huh.
None of the other sketches were that memorable, but none of them bombed, especially the cold open, which really seemed lacking in direction this week.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that. It was,
this episode was... show. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think if this was as bad as, the J-Lo episode, but it was... It's close.
I don't know. 6-1, half a dozen on the other. It's I've expunged much of the J-Lo episode from my head already.
Yeah, I think and this episode I don't think will stand the test of time. It's kind of
no, it wasn't great. I mean, J.J. Watt, he was fine. He did okay in some of the things. I really liked his delivery and the Robbie sketch where it was like, oh, you don't believe me? No, I definitely don't.
Yeah, that was good.
I enjoyed the deadpan quality of that. Maybe he's a better film actor than he is a live sketch comedy actor.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments in this episode that were good, but overall it was it's not, I don't know. Part of me kind of thinks do the writers kind of have trouble writing for jocks and athletes a lot of times?
Well, I think it's a tougher thing because, you know, they don't have a television show. They don't have an established character you can parody or something like that.
Right.
You can do a few sports themed sketches where they play themselves. Like we had the Madden thing this week, and we had Robbie, which is a football themed thing, and some other things just playing off his physical type, like where he plays Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I think maybe the writers have to work a little harder especially if the sports star doesn't have a real defined persona, which I don't know if J.J. Watt has.
I don't think so. I mean, I know people know from the money he raised for Hurricane Harvey and all this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, but
he's not an outrageous personality the way somebody a Dennis Rodman is.
Wow.
You know?
Rodman. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was something else.
Yeah.
But this episode, it also kind of felt like it was. Because, they had, a football player host and, a country singer.
Yeah.
Part of me thinking, was this episode just for, the red state, middle America folks?
It kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe it was a conscious choice. They were like, hey, it's Super Bowl weekend. Let's get a sports star in there. Let's get a football player. Who can we get from the world of football?
And because, a lot of the sketches weren't, too meta or too, they're kind of all, kind of straightforward, kind of simple premise type of sketches. There wasn't anything too, too... I don't want to say brainy, but Coastal Elite, I guess. I don't know. But
Who knows? I mean, maybe they were intentionally going for that. Maybe that's just how this week worked out. I mean, because you always want to match the host and the musical guest.
That's very
and have
true.
Them jibe pretty well. But
yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I just think it was an off episode, and that's fine.
It's
not the worst thing in the world.
It's fine. They can't all be, in terms of football, they can't all be home runs.
Right.
Right? Sometimes you're going to...
That is the perfect metaphor, Darren.
Thank you. Sometimes you're going to get a gutter ball.
Right.
There you go. See, I know sports.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you make a hole in one with the football, and, sometimes you get whammies.
Yeah. Sometimes you sink the battleship. Sometimes the battleship sinks you.
Right.
There you go.
Sometimes they get the four in the row, and it's pretty sneaky, sis, and then you dump all the... the things on the table.
Sometimes you hungry the hippo, and I don't know, I'm going with this.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we know sports.
Right, we do.
Yeah, we know, and one thing we also know, we know we got a new review on the iTunes here.
What?
We got one from Vax Novier. Very refreshing. Only four episodes in, but I enjoy the positive outlook of the show. For example, the general opinion on Jonah Hill's monologue seems to be it was too woke, or that he didn't earn a visit to the Five Timers Club. But these guys view it as a new and fresh approach. Great to hear a consistently positive take on modern SNL.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that review, Vax Novier.
Thanks,
we appreciate that, and we hope you continue going through the archive and enjoying the show. I'm curious, like, how far back that Jonah Hill episode was.
That was a ways away.
I know that was last season.
It was Maggie Rogers was the musical guest,
episode. Yes, yes, that was from November 5th, 2018. This was, like, actually before we started numbering our episodes, so let's see, it's...
That Chihuahua. Well, you said four episodes in, so that'd be, like,
yeah, fourth. Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Is that what we did? It's about six episodes in, it looks like. Okay. So,
but yeah, thanks, Vax. I mean, we try to basically stay positive because we don't want to be like those cynical, angry podcasters or, you know, there's too much. There's already a ton of negativity online and stuff. So
I don't find that too fun to listen to. For me, personally, as a podcast listener, I wouldn't want to keep coming back to a thing where we're constantly ripping apart everything.
SNL sucks, and they don't know how to write anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when we are, like, when we don't like sketches, we won't shy away from it. We'll say, like, this was kind of weak, but we basically try to offer, like, some constructive criticism and try to...
Yeah, like, maybe they could have done this, and that could have been a twist that made this work better, or, you know, where was this sketch faltering? And when we really like something, we try to just unabashedly like that. I mean, I like liking things.
Yeah, I like that Ego got like a good amount of screen time in this episode.
Yeah.
Like she was on Weekend Update. She was on the Pilot Hunk. She was on something else. She had like a good chunk of like a scene of sketches in this
good,
show.
Good episode for her. Yeah, I really like that Weekend Update segment she did. That was one of the highlights of the episode for me. So.
See, there you go. Positive. Hey.
Positive. Positive. So next week's going to be an interesting episode because we've got RuPaul hosting and Justin Bieber as the musical guest.
The pride of Canada.
That's, I mean, together again at long last.
Finally.
Finally, we got RuPaul and Justin Bieber back together and we can do all these callbacks to all their great collaborations in the past.
They've squashed their beef.
That's right. There was all that bad blood between RuPaul and the Bieber.
Yes.
What are Justin Bieber fans called?
Bieber Hive? I don't know.
Yeah.
Bieberholics?
The RuPaulies and the Bieberies.
Bieberies? I mean,
the Bieberinos?
Bieberinos! Oh, shit! That's even better.
You know, I'm glad those two factions have finally worked out their differences.
Oh, my gosh. Like the Blood and the Crips coming together. Like,
exactly.
Thank God.
Exactly. I mean, so I'm looking forward to what that's going to be in store, because that's...
I think that'll be an interesting one. Just, you know, RuPaul has like, you know, she has a good, has tons of performances in her.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, RuPaul's been on camera, so she knows how to perform and stuff. Yeah. So I think it'll be a little bit livelier. You know, Bieber's done this show before. So, like, I think this might be a good one.
I feel like even if it's not the most successful episode, it'll be an interesting failure.
Yes.
You know, even if stuff doesn't go well, it's just going to be like, I mean, come on. We got RuPaul and Justin Bieber together.
See, we...
Just those two standing next to each other is a sight gag.
Oy. Set your DVRs, people.
It'd be fun to see Kate McKinnon's Justin Bieber impression again. Oh, I have fond memories of that.
You think they're going to do like a Bieber off?
That would be fun.
Ooh.
That'd be fun. You know, I remember her saying, I think it was on Ellen or something, that she... The secret to her Justin Bieber was like he's always like a dog who just piddled on the carpet, a little puppy dog. He's
just like,
I'm just bad. I don't know, you know, and just the Bieber posturing and
Now that you say that, we might get like Bieber to Bieber.
Yeah,
it'll be like when remember when like Rachel Dratch did like that impression of Calista Flockhart and then it had the real Calista Flockhart.
Oh yeah,
it'll be like that, like back, like side to side, Ally McBeals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm more excited.
You're hyped now.
Oof,
hyped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
That's the episode, guys. And as always, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, DARIN Incredible. And follow the show at SNL Nerds Show on Twitter.
That sounded so confident. At SNL Nerd Show on Twitter.
Yes, I got it.
You can follow the show. We'll always post when we have a new episode, and you know, we try to pepper in interesting comments and stories throughout the week.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic, TRUMBULL, and the word comic. That's pretty much it.
That's
for this week.
Yeah, I mean, always, you can follow up. You can find us on at @non-productive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, donate to our Patreon, give us money, mm-hmm. and listen to the other shows on the Non-Productive Network. We got a huge roster.
And if you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, that always helps. We appreciate that. That helps boost up the show.
Yeah.
So, whatever you want to say, and we like hearing your feedback, good, bad, indifferent, whatever.
Yeah, we prefer the good, but we'll take the bad. We'll acknowledge.
Maybe we can learn from it.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe it might send us crying, but we'll.
That's always the risk.
Yes,
that's always the risk. So. But anyway, we are going to, I think, go home, watch the Super Bowl.
Yes, watch and, the sports game.
Yeah, watch Great Commercial Night.
Mm-hmm.
And but we will see you next week for RuPaul and Justin Bieber. And until then,
nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.